Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn. Really excited about our guest this week. Keith Rapol is joining us. He has a life that was far from God. He was looking for love in all the wrong places, like a lot of us did growing up. And after bouncing between parents, grandparents, and foster homes, Keith ended up in California in his early 20s, homeless, addicted, and broken. Then he got involved in the porn industry and was tremendously successful there, was actually the largest producer of pornography or distributor of pornography on the West Coast at one time. And yet one day he was ambushed by God, and now Keith serves as the recovery pastor at Mission Church in Ventura, California, where he and his wife Samantha are the owners of Surf and Yogurt in Ventura, California. So, Keith, first of all, just go on and hurt us, man. What's the weather like in California today?
Well, today it's got a little overcast. I'm looking out at the ocean right now, and I'm looking at the pier, and I mean, God's painting's beautiful, but it's a very beautiful place to live, Ventura, California.
You actually did not grow up in California, though. You were tell about where you grew up.
I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, like you had said earlier, till the age of about 21 years old.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your childhood. I know that your mom and dad went through multiple marriages. I read your book. That's why we're having Keith as a guest. He has a tremendous book called Just Breathe that I would highly recommend. But tell a little bit about your childhood.
Well, to keep it brief, because it's a pretty extensive childhood. My mother and father were very young when having me and my sister. My mother, when my sister was born, was 14, and then she had me a couple years later. And my father was young, and they were incapable at that time to act on the responsibility as parents. And so I would go on to live with my mother's. Are my father's mother, and would live there for a short while. And my father, he ended up getting married five or six times. My mother, the same, five or six times. And I think it was my mother's sixth marriage. She had married a Pentecostal guy, and she decided to get all of her children back into one home, which was about five children. And so this would be the first time that I would live with my mother or have any, I never had much interaction with her either growing up.
Well, I remember reading in the book, you talked about, being with that. And so obviously with his Pentecostal background, went to church, and of course those church services can be pretty, passionate, emotional things, but it was about God and love for God and passion for God, but it was kind of a different story at home, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, coming from from my grandmother, who was an Irish Catholic, and pretty much her values were just live by the Ten Commandments, and that's all you need to do. We weren't really, regular church attendees. To moving into from having just one other sibling to now living with five siblings and attending church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and having a whole new set of rules cast on me, like not swimming with the opposite sex or not wearing jewelry or not going to a rated G movie because it might support a rated R movie, or not being able to trick or treat on Halloween, or, it was just a shell shock to go from that to another religious organization that I didn't understand as a child.
Well, talk to us fast forward. How did you wind up in California, Keith?
So I would stay with that family, with my mother and her newest husband, for a couple of years, and I did get removed from the family after returning to school one day. I remember I came home with straight F's and straight U's because I felt socially unacceptable and awkward with the public school system. felt like I didn't belong. And my stepfather said for every out and every U that you got, that we would get 5 licks. And I don't know how many that is, but I had straight ups and straight U's. And, you know, I might have been like 40 licks. And the Department of Children's Services pulled me out of the home, and I would go on to live with my grandmother and then with a foster family. And fast forwarding, my mother died when I was 16. You know, I saw some family in the hospital, and they said, your mother's here. I was there with my foster family, and it would be the first time I would tell my mother that I loved her while holding her hand. And she was in a coma, and she died at that moment. So needless to say, after that, I really dove heavy into alcohol and drugs, and you know, in Memphis, Tennessee, and started getting drunk drivings and breaking in entries. So I had to leave because I had dove so far into my addiction and my alcoholism that there was nothing left but prison time in front of me. So I jumped on a Greyhound and headed to California with $3 in my pocket.
How old were you at this time, Keith, when you headed to California?
I was in my beginning 20s, 19, 20 year old, or 21, somewhere in there.
Okay. Well, talk to us about how you got started in the porn industry. It wasn't like you knew exactly what you were doing, but share that story about, you know, how you saw a guy in a bar and just wanted a drink and how things evolved from there.
Well, yeah, you know, getting to California, you know, I needed a way to support my addiction, first of all. And so I would look for employment, and I would get odd and end jobs doing construction. But on the my number one job was just selling drugs. And I thought, what is a really good place to sell drugs? And the idea came that, you know, people in bars are looking to buy drugs. So I went to the bar, and I saw a man at the bar. He was in a big fur coat with a gold necklace on, with the coin on the rope chain. And he reached into his pocket and pulled out a wad of $100 bills. I thought, that man needs drugs. So I approached him, said, hey, would you like drugs? And he goes, no, I don't want any drugs. And I go, well, buy me a drink. And he goes, well, get a job. So he bought me a drink and thought he'd never see me again. And he said, I have work for you. I said, I'm looking for a job. He said, well, what do you do? I go, I do carpentry work. And he says, well, be at my store in the morning and you can do some work for me. So he bought me the drink, thought he'd never see me again. The next morning, he pulled up to his store, and I was sitting out front with my nail bag. And needless to say, the store was an adult bookstore. So I went in, I built some shelves for the guy, and I have to say my curiosity was a little high. You know, it was kind of new and exciting looking, you know, all the stuff inside the stores. But I built the shelf for him, and we would end up renting a warehouse and building more shelves. At the end of building those shelves, he said, well, I don't need you to build shelves anymore, but if you want to go to L.A. with me, I'll buy the alcohol, and we'll go to a strip club, and, you know, you can hang out, we'll smoke some weed, but I can't pay you. So I rode with him to L.A., and it was exciting, and I had found a new friend that seemed to take an interest in me, and we went to buy product and filled up his van. And the product was adult video. When we got back, we stocked the shelves and finished all that. And he said, well, I need a shipper. And I said, well, what's that paying? He says, $3.35 an hour. I worked for him shipping because I had nothing else going. And that minimum wage at that time was $3.35. We would work till 5, punch out, and drink till 10. And the next morning, he didn't come in. But I had a key. I went in. And I didn't know what to do, so I thought, well, I should go to the liquor store. Got me a six-pack and got on the phone at 8 in the morning and started calling people around the world. I worked for him for 10 years. I ended up going out on my own, and he ended up closing down and coming to work for me. I became Southern California's largest distributor, the largest adult distributor on the West Coast, second largest distributor in the U.S., and then I ended up being the top 10 manufacturing of adult movies in the industry.
So you're having tremendous career success. Obviously, I'm assuming that you were able to afford all the luxuries that come along with having that type of business success, nice cars, home on the beach, able to travel. But how did you feel inside? Were you happy?
Well, I have to say, you know, in my success, I thought, you know, that these would be the things that would fill that hole inside my soul, they say. I thought that, you know, because, you know, the emptiness that I felt inside, the loneliness, the lack of love, that I could fill it with material items. And as you said, you know, the cars, Bentleys and Maseratis and 12-cylinder Mercedes, and then I got on a watch fetish, you know, started buying watches, and, you know, I would get one, and it would last a week, you know, and, you know, I would buy a $60,000 watch, you know, and then a week later, that didn't work, and, you know, then I started buying houses, and, you know, looking for love for material possessions, and it just wasn't working.
Well, and, you know, you share so well in detail in the book about, you know, all of those things and how, you know, you tried to do that, and yet you started to have children during this time, too. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, you know, before my success, I had two daughters, and, you know, being addicted to drugs, that, you know, they were in Department of Children's Services, and then I pulled it together. I did manage to get some sobriety and raise my children, but yet work in the adult industry. And looking back today, those two girls are 28 and 26, and the things that I represented to them I'm ashamed of how I led my life. Like, in their eyes, I showed them, you know, that if I had pride or ego or you know, all the characters that I display, I wish I, you know, am reliving now. I have a 9-year-old son now, and it's a completely different set of characteristics that I'm and values that I'm raising him by. But yes, I had a couple of daughters, and they live here in Ventura, and I have a grandson now.
Well, that's great how your family, and obviously we'll get further on your story in the next few days on programs. You'll get to hear about all of that. So, Keith, what would you say to somebody right now that is just going, you know, man, I hear this guy's story and it's my story. What would you say to them that, you know, you wish you would have done differently maybe?
Well, I mean, I think back to my childhood. And there was that time that I was introduced to God a couple of times. I think that God pursued me early on as a child, but I wasn't willing to take that path. I wasn't willing to listen. I felt that I always had a desire inside of me to go to the circles that were no good for me, and not to run to the circles that were great for me. I think I would have stood still maybe and accepted the help that was there for me, those good circles. But I didn't surrender back in my earlier years.
If you just tuned in, we're talking with Keith Rapol. He has a great testimony, a great story in a book called Just Breathe. We're going to talk to him tomorrow about how he was ambushed by God and how to start the transformation process of a fully devoted follower of Jesus. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow on Hope Is Here.